This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Wednesday, the 28th day of June. June is ticking down rapidly. We are almost halfway through the year. Is July 1st halfway, or is the last day of June halfway? I'm not sure, but right there, maybe midnight between the two, we are halfway through the year. So time is flying by, all sorts of stuff going on. It's an interesting time to be alive. Seeing a lot of stuff in the news and stuff. I'll save that for Monday and meandering Monday, but there's lots of stuff going on. As I'm still playing catch up from my 2 weeks away at camp. I was home the Saturday and Sunday between my 2 weeks, but I spent those days unpacking, repacking, and holding my recliner to the floor. Because, you know, at my age, hanging out with high schoolers and junior high kids is exhausting. And a good time. Had a blast. Missing them this week at the same time that I am very glad that I am not busy with things that I'm busy with other things. Although I will admit I have been taking a lot of time off this week, just kicked back and relaxed and all of that. But hey, that's the way life is. I need to adjust this just a little bit. There we go. Get John MacArthur in the frame there and that picture in the back. All right. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. on Twitter, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the audio podcast is available wherever you find fine podcasts. And yes, once again, to reassure you, I did hit the record button. So this is being recorded. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You'll have to count them up for yourself. I don't have a count. There's a lot of them, and they're all good. They're all doctrinally sound, and they are all worth you giving some attention. Some of them may be on topics that aren't what you need, but we've got everything from daily devotionals to in-depth theological dives by seminary professors. There's interview shows. There's shows on homeschooling. There's just shows on Christian living. There are eclectic shows like this one that cover a wide variety of topics. You will find something worth listening to at ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check it out. All right, what do we got coming up today? We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, and then we are resuming our Study Bible Level Bible Study. Today we're going to be finishing chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. We're going to be looking at verses 26 through 32. Interesting passage, a lot of things to say about that today. All right, well, let us begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession. Excuse me. Supposed to drink the coffee, not breathe it. There, get it all down the right pipe. All right. Let us begin, as is our practice. Hey, this is live podcasting, folks. We are webcasting live from the ARN studios high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. So if I cough, if I choke on my coffee, if I, notice my mouse running around behind me. That's Fiona the mouse, who is on camera. Darby the hamster is over my right shoulder, and you cannot see her. But both hamsters have been cut, or both rodents, one mouse, one hamster, both of them have been cuddled and received snacks this morning, and seem to be settling down to their normal daily sleeping routine. Hey, they're nocturnal critters. I get to play with them in the morning and the evening. The rest of the day, they just kind of sit there. But you know, I often say that having rodents is a lot like having an aquarium, except you can take the fish out and play with them. So that's the way that works. All right, let us begin with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, our daily reading from the life of Christ, our devotional today, is entitled Shining the Light. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, Matthew 5:16. Letting our light shine before men allows them to see our good works. The beauty of the Lord has worked in us. To see good works by us is to see Christ in us. That's why Jesus says, let your light shine. It is not something we create or make up, but something we allow the Lord to do through us. It is God's light. Our choice is whether to hide it or let it shine. We allow God's light to shine through us so God will receive the praise. Our intent should be that what we are and what we do, others may in what we are and what we do, others may see God and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Our good works should magnify God's grace and power. That is the supreme calling of life, glorifying God. Everything we do is to cause others to give praise to God, the source of all that is good. The way we live ought to lead those around us to glorify our Heavenly Father. However, when what we do causes people to be attracted to us rather than to God, to see our human character rather than His divine character, we can be sure that what they see is not His light. Make sure your deeds point people to God, the author of those deeds. Ask yourself, as we have seen before, some will respond to your good deeds with derision and persecution, but others will shower praise on you for your acts of Christian character. How do you respond to those who give you credit for your servant's heart and faithful obedience? How do you deflect that praise to God so it doesn't nestle down in your own heart? Good word this morning from Dr. MacArthur. All right, now our prayer from the reading of the Word. By the way, John MacArthur turned 84 while I was away at camp. His 84th birthday. I'm listening to some recent sermons, and it looks like he has regained much of his strength from the heart issues that he suffered at the beginning of the year. He seems to have fully recovered from the fall he took in March, right before Shepherd's Conference. That was just a mishap. And I'm thinking that they have, you know, probably his drug regimen has been adjusted, because he seems to have gotten some strength back to his voice and all of that. I am pleased to say that he is using the rail to climb the steps up to the platform at Grace Church on Sunday mornings to go preach. That is a good thing, a necessary thing. I guess it was 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago at Shepherd's Conference, I started noticing his age. He had seemed ageless to me. He had looked the same. He had sounded the same for over a decade. You know, from his late 60s, really, until right around 80, 81. He had looked just like he always had, sounded like he always had, moved like he always had. I remember when he got his knee replacements done that, you know, there was a new vigor in his step as he was no longer in pain. He was able to jogged up the steps to the podium, to the pulpit. He did that for many years. And it was just a few years ago that all of a sudden I noticed he's moving like an old man. And it really was once he turned 80. So he has done very well. And still preaching up a storm. Still one of the best expositors of our age. There's nobody it's going to be, we have a generation that's passing away. I think of you know, we lost R.C. Sproul a few years ago. John MacArthur is aging. I think of David Jeremiah. I think of Chuck Swindoll. You know, we're losing a generation. There are, you know, in 20, 30 years, there are going to be people pointing at the long careers of other pastors that may not be on our radar right now. And even Alistair Begg's in his 60s, isn't he? Or is he 70? I'd have to check. I'm not sure what his birthday is. But we have a generation, you know, that's getting ready to pass on. But God is not leaving the world without a witness. There will be pastors and preachers that we can look to help us, that'll shape the culture of biblical Christianity for decades to come, if the Lord tarries. He's always had his witness. We can look back through church history, and there have been giants along the way. Spurgeon, Wycliffe, Cranmer, Luther, Calvin, Athanasius, Polycarp. I mean, go back hundreds of years. Augustine. Think of it, the Puritans, John Owen, Jonathan Edwards, Thomas Boston. I mean, just some phenomenal, phenomenal Cotton Mather. Increase Mather. Glad kind of names like Increase have faded away. Nobody calls their kid that now anymore. We were talking about that. I'm just being totally off topic here. I am rambling a little bit. I was at my daughter or my granddaughter's second birthday party Sunday after church, and one of my nephew's wives is pregnant. The other nephew's wife, they have a small, gosh, she's coming up on 6 months. I'm not sure his exact age, Kaysen. And then, of course, my granddaughter's two. So watching the next generation there. And a couple of my daughter's friends from grade school were there as well with their kids. I took a picture of those three young mothers, my daughter and her two best friends from school, and just remembering just the fun we had on sleepover movie nights, because those girls used to spend a lot of time here. And I'll be honest with you, my office here, the ARN studios, was my daughter's bedroom. So I figured she's off and married. I can use the room for other purposes. Where I'm sitting, this is where the bed was. She had a desk on the wall behind me, a little bookcase. The walls were covered with Lord of the Rings posters from the movie series. Tells you how long ago it was. But I just remember having those girls out in the living room, camped on air mattresses on the floor, watching movies all night, and then making them go to church the next day. Fun times. I just told them they could stay up as late as they wanted, just don't keep me awake. And I would go to bed, and I would wake up and find them just all flopped down on the floor. At least they had turned the TV off. But, you know, so good times, good memories. Time goes by quick. Time goes by really quick. All right. We have a Bible study to do. Our prayer for the reading the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And get back to the story I was telling. I got off track. I want to finish why I started talking about the party on Sunday. My nephew's wife, who is expecting, they're due in October, November. I'd have to check. Due in the fall. My sister and one of my nephews and his wife and their little baby were at church this morning, or Sunday morning. And in my sermon, of course, I was preaching from the Old Testament, and there was a list of names. And my sister said, you know, did you practice all those names, or were you just saying them confidently? A little bit of both. But the other thing was that she said, she had added a lot of these names to the list of names not to recommend to her son and daughter-in-law for the baby that's expected this fall. So that was amusing. And it was thinking about names like Increase Mather and Cotton Mather that made me think of that. Yeah. So name your kids names. Yeah, we decided that Abinadab would not be a name that my grandnephew would be named. So, all right. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 11, 26 through 32. We're going to be finishing up Deuteronomy 11. Let me read the passage. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of Yahweh your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of Yahweh your God, but turn aside from the way which I commanded you today by walking after other gods, which you have not known. And it will be when Yahweh your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. And are they not across the Jordan, west of the way toward the sunset, in the land of the Canaanites who live in the Arabah, opposite Gilgal, beside the oaks of Moreh? For you are about to cross the Jordan to go in to possess the land which Yahweh your God is giving you. And you shall possess it and live in it, and you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the judgments which I am setting before you today. So this is actually the end of Moses' first address. These are his concluding remarks. In chapter 12, we will get into his next address. Depending on how certain different scholars have broken it apart in different ways, there is not really a time stamp. This is his first address. This is his second address. These are the contents of his address. And whether he wrote them or whether he spoke them, and they were written by someone else. They're attributed to Moses because he spoke them, certainly. Because at the end of the book, it does talk about his death. That obviously is not something Moses wrote. I have a tendency to think that Deuteronomy was given orally, and Joshua took notes on what Moses was saying, and that God has preserved, God inspired and preserved those notes for us. I don't believe that Moses sat down and wrote this out. This isn't his sermon manuscripts. These are transcripts of what he said. So it is a book of Moses. It is an important book of Moses. Moses is the human author, but it was dictated and transcribed. He did not, it's somebody writing down what he said when he addressed the nation. Again, can't be dogmatic about that, but that's my opinion. But because of that, there isn't any clear breaks between the different addresses, but this seems to be a natural break. But there it is, four or six addresses in Deuteronomy. That seems to be the consensus. I lean toward the four addresses. But again, it's not, you know, on this date, on this hour, Moses said this. On this date and this, we don't have that kind of record. We have a record of what he said. It is kind of blended together in places so that you can't always distinguish where one address ends and another begins. It's not important. If it was important, God would have given it to us that way. All right. So as a final motive for driving home the importance of being obedient to God, Moses gives the first instruction for this blessing and cursing ceremony, which is going to take place. He gives much more detail in Deuteronomy 27, which we will look at a later time, but I'm going to read it right now just to get that in our heads. Just the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 27. And of course, I did not put a bookmark in there, so give me a minute to... And I'm dealing with a new Bible with papers sticking together. All right, 27. This is verses 1 through 14. Then Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep the entire commandment which I am commanding you today. So it will be on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which Yahweh your God gives you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lime, and write on them all the words of this law when you cross over, so that you may enter the land which Yahweh your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Yahweh the God of your fathers promised you. So it will be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones, as I am commanding you today. You shall coat them with lime. Moreover, you shall build there an altar to Yahweh your God, an altar of stones. You shall not wield an iron tool on them. You shall build the altar of Yahweh your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to Yahweh your God, and you shall sacrifice peace offerings, and eat there and be glad before Yahweh your God, and you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly." Then Moses and the Levitical priests spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O people, O Israel. This day you have become a people for Yahweh your God. You shall therefore listen to the voice of Yahweh your God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today." Moses also commanded the people on that day, saying, "When you cross the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. For the curse, these shall stand on Mount Ebal: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall then answer and say to all the men of Israel in one voice," and then it starts to list the curses first, followed by the blessings, and we will look at all of that in detail when we get there, sometime in 2027, because we're not going that fast. But yeah, we'll get there when we get there. So these blessings and the curses, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim are across the Jordan River in the Promised Land, and on these two mountains were to be set these curses. So basically, half the tribes were to climb one mountain, half the tribes were to climb the other mountain, and they were to proclaim the blessings and the curses. Now, the blessings and the curses they're prophetic. They're not just warnings. They're not just promises. They are prophecies. He says that you will be cursed if you do not listen to the commandments of Yahweh, and you will be blessed if you listen to the commands of Yahweh. And again, this is the temporal and conditional blessing of the covenant of Moses. The conditional and temporal blessing of the covenant made with Israel, the nation. And it is this covenant that was replaced by the new covenant in Christ. The Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, all of those, the other covenants were unconditional and eternal. This is conditional and temporal. And even as the promises will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom, this covenant will not be the same covenant that governs Israel at that time. I mentioned before that there are things in Ezekiel and other passages talking about Ezekiel, Isaiah, other places, talking about worship in the millennial kingdom, in the messianic kingdom, that differ from worship in the Torah. And this has caused Jewish theologians much confusion and has made things difficult to express as they have looked at this and said, wait a minute, this is not what Moses said to do. The worship will be different in the millennium. There will be similarities and there will be differences. And as I said, that's caused some confusion among Jewish theologians who do not accept the Messiah and do not accept that the messianic reign is going to be different and under a new covenant, a different covenant. It is the new covenant which will rule in the millennium, excuse me. So he says, you're going to have these blessings and cursings. They are prophetic. They are to be pronounced over Israel after they cross the Jordan. Remember, Moses will not be allowed to cross the Jordan because he had disobeyed God. And so he has a consequence of disobedience that he cannot enter the Promised Land. He will be allowed to climb the mountain and look across the river and see it. He will not be allowed to enter in. And that's at the end of the book. So this is instruction for when they enter the land. It's going to be repeated, as I said, in Deuteronomy 27. And that's where we actually start getting into the curses and the blessings and the lists of the things, which is a fascinating study. I'm looking forward to getting there with you and looking at that. But that's down the road. But this ceremony was to take place as they entered the land. Now, Mount Gerizim, you remember, this is the area near the town where Jesus talked to the woman at the well. Because, what town was that? Shechem? I'd have to go back and look. I'm not sure what town it was. But the well where Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman was dug by Jacob on property right here, Shechem. It was Shechem. I'm looking at my notes here. Look at the notes. Don't just try to guess. It was Shechem. So it was there in John 4:6, the well that Jacob had dug. And she pointed to where the Samaritan temple was on Mount Gerizim. Now, the reason that there was a Samaritan temple on Mount Gerizim has to do with the divided kingdom. When the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, the temple, of course, was in Jerusalem. The northern kings, of whom Scripture has nothing good to say, there were several good kings mixed among the bad kings of Judah in the south, but there were no good kings in the north. They were all rebels. They all did wrong in the sight of God. They were all under God's judgment and curse. And indeed, they were a curse on the nation, because when God punishes a nation, he gives them unjust rulers. So you had this these wicked rulers in the north. And the wicked rulers in the north did not want their people going south to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Because they didn't want them going south to worship at the temple of Jerusalem, they built a new temple in the north on Mount Gerizim, which is one of the mountains where the pronouncements were supposed to be. In fact, the curses were on Mount Ebal, and the blessings were on Mount Gerizim. So they chose the mountain of blessing to defy God on, because God had, as we'll see at the beginning of chapter 12, God had chosen a place where he was to be worshipped, and it was not Mount Gerizim. Although there is commands here to build an altar at Gerizim and worship God there as they enter the promised land. So God did set his name there for a short period to celebrate the entry into the promised land. But then God moved his site of his worship from there to Shiloh and eventually to Jerusalem, where it was to remain. And so he says, you know, he gives this whole thing about, you know, we read in 27 about building an altar and everything, but here he says, if you do not listen to the commandment of Yahweh your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by walking after other gods which you have not known. The gods of Canaan, which of course are not gods, had not, and of course could not, because they're not real, done anything for the nation of Israel. It was God who delivered them from slavery. It was God who preserved them through the wilderness, and it was God who was giving them the land. And this is another warning not to follow after the gods you do not know. Now, it's not talking about gods you have no knowledge of. It's talking about gods you have no relationship with. A, because they're not real, and B, because your relationship is with God, Yahweh, the one and only God, the true and living God. That's the only God there is. And that is the God that Israel is to worship. But as we know, Israel would follow after the gods of the Canaanites. And because of that, God would judge them. But here the promise of blessing is, don't follow the other gods. But the curse that comes along, that is what happens when you don't obey God. And as I said, these things are prophetic. As we get into them in chapter 27 and after looking at them in detail, we will see that all of these things befell Israel. You know, and Moses at the very end says, when all these things have happened, at the end of the curses, when all these things have happened, not if, but when. It was prophetic. So these verses then are the conclusion again of this passage, this section from chapters 5 to 11 of Moses' address to the people. And it ends with, "For you are about to cross the Jordan to go in and possess the land which Yahweh your God is giving you, and you shall possess it, and you shall live in it, and you shall be careful to do all the statutes and judgments which I am setting before you today." Obedience to God is important. And indeed, that was my sermon on Sunday, the importance of obeying God. We are to live lives of obedience. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We are not saved because we obey God. Because we can't obey him perfectly, we can't measure up to the standard. We need to be saved. But we strive to obey God because he has saved us. It is an act of worship to obey God. And so, keep that in mind as we go through your day and weeks ahead. It's important to obey God. All right, well, that is the end of chapter 11. There's a lot more I could say there, but I'm not gonna, because I'm still tired and I have things to do today. You probably have things to do today, too. All right. Let's recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Now the Collect for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. "Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase us in true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen." And now the Collect for Grace. "O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us by your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin nor run into any danger, and that guided by your Spirit we may do what is righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." And now the Collect for the Unrepentant. "Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen." All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for today. We've got Theology Thursday coming up tomorrow as we're back in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. Federalist Friday on Friday, and then we're into the weekend. So we are halfway through the week today, at least by lunchtime. So it's all downhill from here, heading for the weekend. And, of course, the most important event of the weekend, gathering with the saints to worship our Lord on Sunday morning. So I commend to you the rest of the week. Worship God in obedience to his word. Wrong button. Okay, that's the wrong button. That's going to have to play out because I can't stop it. I wish there was a way to stop it. I hit the wrong button. We were going to have the opening again. So now I'll just ramble on while that makes its way through its cycle. And once that light stops flashing, I will turn that portion of the soundboard back up and play the closing remarks. All right, there we go. Here's the music. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Make sure you hit the right button at the right time. Take care. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.